ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति भेद विभागिने विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We just started the 13th chapter known as Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga. Just before entering, let us remember that this entire Bhagavad Gita, consisting of 18 chapters, is divided into three parts as Prathama Shatkam, Madhyama Shatkam, and Charma Shatkam. The Prathama Shatkam, the first part consisting of 6 chapters, presents Jiva Swarupam, essential nature of every individual, which is the Tvampada Lakshyartha, which is the implied meaning of the word Tvam in Tattvamasi Mahavakyam. And also, the important discipline of Karma Yoga also is discussed. Even though the Karma Yoga is discussed everywhere, all over Gita, Karma Yoga is highly elaborately discussed in the first 6 chapters. Then another important aspect which is emphasized in the first 6 chapters is Atmanaha Prayatnaha, Jiva Prayatnaha. Prayatnaha means one's own effort. Because in living a life of Karma Yoga, one has to make use of one's own will. Even though there's Bhagavan's will, we cannot take everything as Bhagavan ordained. Definitely, even though everything is ordained by Bhagavan in the form of universal law and order, definitely there's also responsibility on the part of an individual to make use of one's own will or to make use of one's own knowledge of right and wrong in order to prepare one's mind for jnanam. Therefore, the importance, the necessity of making the best use of one's own willpower in terms of one's own effort is also discussed in the first 6 chapters. These are the main 3 topics discussed in the first 6 chapters, which form the first part. Each jiva swarupam, essential nature of the individual, karma yoga, a discipline to be followed to prepare one's mind, and the one's own effort, prayatna, making the best and use of one's own will and one's knowledge of right and wrong. These 3 topics cover the first 6 chapters. Then, if you see the second 6 chapters which you have covered just now, Madhyama Shatkam, the second part consisting of 6 chapters, discuss elaborately Bhagavat Swarupam, Ishwara Swarupam, the essential nature of the total. And also, Upasanam, the discipline as the meditation of Bhagavan, meditation upon Bhagavan as a discipline to prepare one's mind. How to meditate upon Bhagavan? Here meditation is not something sitting and doing. Understanding the fact that all that is there is Bhagavan. Being able to appreciate Bhagavan as the whole and the whole as Bhagavan. We saw in Vibhuti Yoga and Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga how to see everything in Bhagavan. We see everything in Bhagavan, it is Vishwarupa Darshanam. We see Bhagavan in everything, it is the Bhagavan appreciation of Bhagavan's glories. This is how Upasanam also is discussed in the Upasanam as a discipline is discussed in the second 6 chapters. Then also Ishvara Anugraha, how to tap Bhagavan's grace. of course, if you live a life of karma yoga, making the best use of your will and knowledge of right and wrong, you can't help. You will definitely tap Bhagavan's grace. So Ishvara Anugraha, Ishvara Swarupam, then Upasanam, these three factors form the content of the second six chapters. We will be analyzing again later on. Now, in this third six chapters, the Charama Shatkam, the concluding part consisting of six chapters, which are going to start today, has the present the essential oneness of the individual and the total. It is Asipadarthaha, Asipada Lakshyarthaha, which I said last class itself. How essentially the total and the individual are one and the same. Essential non-difference, essential oneness of the individual and the total is discussed as the main topic. And here, we'll see in this 13th chapter actually, is the Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogaha. And you know very well the word Yogaha has different meanings in different contexts. Yogaha means union, Yogaha means knowledge, Yogaha means discipline, Yogaha means preparatory discipline, Yogaha also means the topic of the chapter, the subject matter of each chapter. So here, Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogaha means, Kshetram means the field, the object of knowledge, and Kshetrajna is the knower of the field. Therefore, this talk here, this chapter presents subject matter of the field and the knower of the field, the distinct, the discriminative understanding of who the knower of the field is and what is the field of experience. The experiencer obtaining in the field of experience and the field of experience and the discriminative understanding of this Kshetrajna, the experiencer of the field of experience, and Kshetram, the field of experience, is discussed in this chapter. So here, so the second important topic we discussed is Jnana Yogaha. First we saw the first six chapters Karma Yogaha, second six chapters Upasanam. Now we are going to see the topic of Jnana Yogaha in terms of understanding the essential oneness of the individual and the total. So the first verse, opening verse is this. Some books have Arjuna's question as the first verse. Some books may not have Arjuna's question, but I have Arjuna's question here. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogo Nama Trayodashodhyayaha. Arjuna uvacha prakritim purusham chaiva kshetram kshetrajna evacha prakritim purusham chaiva kshetram kshetrajna evacha yetadveditumichhami Jnanam jnayancha keshava yetadveditumichhami Jnanam jnayancha keshava. So here in this verse, Arjuna opens the conversation, dialogue. Arjuna, having been taught so much in all 12 verses, 12 chapters of Gita, now Arjuna asks Krishna a question. So this Arjuna's question is going to be answered by Krishna. So by way of answering Arjuna's questions, Bhagavan Krishna is going to enhance our clarity. Suddenly you can see how much you're going to understand in 13th chapter. You can see the big leap in understanding by the time you complete this 13th chapter. So the whole chapter consists of Krishna's answer to Arjuna's questions. The entire 13th chapter has the subject matter which forms the answer for Arjuna's questions. So what are those questions Arjuna asked? Let us see here. Arjuna is addressing Bhagavan as Keshava. Hey Keshava, O Lord. Prakritim purusham cha eva. Kshetram kshetrajnam eva cha. Yetad veditum icchami jnanam geyam cha. Arjuna tells Krishna, Keshava, veditum icchami. Icchami, I want to know. Veditum icchami. Now, Sanskrit students should be focusing on language also. Veditum icchami. I want to know. What do I want to know? Arjuna tells. I desire to know. I want to know. I desire to know. Icchami. Veditum icchami. Yetadu. Yetadu means this. I want to know this, Krishna. This means what he says, the following factors. What are the factors he want to know? He wants to know. He says, Prakritim Purusham Cha Eva. Krishna, I want to know what is Prakritihi, what is Purushaha. Okay, what is Prakritihi, what is Purushaha. Second, Kshetram Kshetrajna. Kshetram Kshetrajnam Evacha. So Keshava, I want to know what is Kshetram and what is known by the expression Kshetrajnaha. So who is Kshetrajnaha? Who is Kshetrajnaha or what is Kshetrajnaha? What is Kshetram? Then he says, I want to know what is Jnanam and what is Jnayam. So Arjuna presents here six words. Prakritihi, Purushaha, Kshetram, Kshetrajnaha, Jnanam and Jnayam. He tells these six words. Then he tells, ask Krishna, Keshava, Yetad Veditum Icchami. I desire to know only these six. What is meant by these six words? What is Prakritihi? What does it mean by the word Purushaha? What is Kshetram? Who is Kshetrajnaha? Or what does it mean by saying Kshetrajnaha? What is Jnanam? What is Jnayam? Etad Veditum Icchami. I desire to know this. This means this Prakritihi, Purushaha, Kshetram, Kshetrajnaha, Jnanam and Jnayam. So here Arjuna in his question presents in front of Bhagavan six words, and these are the six words used in the Vedanta Shastram. In fact, Vedanta Paribhashika Shabdaha. These terms are known as Vedanta Paribhashika Shabdaha. Paribhashika Shabdaha means technical expressions used in the Vedanta. In fact, paribhashika shabdaha means paribhashika shabdaha is any technical jargon used in any given discipline, any field of knowledge is called paribhashika shabdaha. Suppose in every field there are jargons pertaining to the specific field. In medical field, there are words used. In engineering field, even IT field, every field there are jargons used. Specifically, they have their own different meanings. Like that, here also we have paribhashika shabdaha used in Vedanta Shastram, and that's what Arjuna presents here. Okay. So, first he wants to know, what are the six words? I'm repeating it because we will not be seeing this again once we enter into the big topic. Prakritihi, Purushaha, Kshetram, Kshetrajnaha, Jnanam, and Jnayam. We can say these six words can be taken as three pairs. Prakriti and Purusha form one pair. Kshetram and Kshetrajnaha form another pair. Jnanam and Jnayam form another pair. So three pairs of words he presents. So Arjuna has not really presented them distinctly. He just says he wants to know. Therefore, first we have to understand what is Prakritihi. In fact, Arjuna puts them in a different order. Bhagavan is going to explain to us in a different order. He will change these pairs. In the place of Purusha and Prakriti, he picks up Prakriti. Bhagavan will connect, Bhagavan will present them as together. Prakriti and Kshetram form one pair. In Bhagavan's teaching, Prakriti and Kshetram form a pair. They're one and the same. Then Kshetrajnaha and Purushaha form another pair. Purushaha, Kshetrajnaha form a pair, one which mean the same. Prakritihi and Kshetram mean the same. Then Jnanam and Jnayam mean the same. In this context. Therefore, if the whole cosmos is a cosmos of matter, so in this universe, anything and everything, invisible, imperceptible, subtle matter also, which forms part of this universe, comes under the category of Kshetram. Therefore, if we say the Prakritihi or Kshetram means, in Vedanta Shastram, it makes very clear what is matter, what is Prakritihi. We say, they say, your physical body is matter, comes under the category of matter. Your mind comes under the category of matter. Then external to the physical body, the entire objective universe also comes under the category of Prakriti. So Prakritihi or Kshetram means the objective universe, including one's body and mind. Okay, all three factors constitute Prakritihi or Kshetram. Bhagavan is going to explain to us in the following verses. So, Jagat, Shariram, manaha. These three factors form kshetram. Then what is purushaha? Purushaha, and we can say prakritihi and kshetram, means one's own mind, body and the objective universe. Jagat, shariram, manaha. Three factors constitute kshetram, which is also known as prakritihi, the matter. Then purushaha and kshetrajnaha. And also we have to include, it is this purushaha, it is this kshetrajnaha who has to be ultimately discovered. What is to be discovered is jnayam. Jnayam means that which is to be finally known. Jnayam means to be known. It's a potential passive participle, which means to be known. That which is to be known ultimately is jnayam. What is it which is to be known? Kshetrajnya. We otherwise said to be purushaha. Therefore, purushaha, kshetrajnya and jnayam, all these three words come mean the same, even though very subtle differences there between them. So all these three words, jnayam, what is that which is to be ultimately discovered, known, jnayam, who is the kshetrajnya, the knower of the field, and who is that, or what is that which is known by the expression purushaha? If we say, all these three words actually imply one and the only pure consciousness. So prakritihi and kshetram, two words mean the matter. Purushaha, kshetrajnaha, jnayam, all the three words mean pure consciousness. Chaitanya tattvam. Now only one word is left behind, that is jnanam. So before we arrive at that word, let us see. So prakritihi and kshetram, these two words mean inert matter, achetanam or achetana tattvam, inert matter. And three words, kshetrajnya, purushaha, jnayam, three words mean pure consciousness. Therefore, now of the six words, five words together are taken to be two factors, matter and consciousness. We have understood the meaning of five words, that is matter and consciousness. Now the only one word that is left out now is jnanam. The word jnanam is very well known word, meaning, well, the word jnanam means knowledge, we know. But here, only in this 13th chapter, the word jnanam does not mean knowledge. The word jnanam actually implies, in this context, all values. There are 20 values, otherwise known as virtues, discussed in this 13th chapter. Together constitute the meaning of the word jnanam. Why? Because these values, otherwise said to be virtues, are important for every individual to be imbibed, because without which one cannot be prepared for jnanam. Therefore, these virtues or values which contribute for the preparation of jnanam, preparation required for the attainment of jnanam, also come under the category of the word jnanam. Therefore, these are the six topics which will be discussed in this chapter, in this 13th chapter. So now Bhagavan answers. Hope you understood the basic meaning. Let us see the answer now. Om Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Idam Shariram Kaunteya Kshetramityabhidhiyate Idam Shariram Kaunteya Kshetramityabhidhiyate Yetadyo Vetitam Prahuhu Kshetrajna Iti Tadvidaha Yetadyo Vetitam Prahuhu Kshetrajna Iti Tadvidaha Idam Shariram Kaunteya Kshetramityabhidhiyate Yetadyo Vetitam Prahuhu Kshetrajna Iti Tadvidaha. Now Bhagavan said, Hey Kaunteya, O Arjuna, son of Kunti. Bhagavan first says, What is Kshetram? Idam Kshetram. Idam Shariram. Arjuna, Idam Shariram, this body. Kshetram Iti Abhidiyate. First he introduces the body, physical body. And he says, Idam Shariram. Even at Bhagavan's teaching is very profound here. Look at this. Idam Shariram, this body. He did not say you are the body. He did not say I am the body. He consciously tells this body. This body means this is what third person singular pronoun this. So he uses the third person singular pronoun this idam, yetad, is idam shariram, this body is kshetram. Idam shariram kshetram iti abhidiyate, yan sandhi, make a note of it, iti abhidiyate, ityabhidiyate. This body is said to be kshetram, a simple passive voice sentence. Then, yetad yaha veti, the yetad is an objective case, yaha yetad veti, veti knows, he who knows this body, yaha, he who, yetad shariram, idam shariram, this body, veti knows, one who knows this body, is what kshetrajnaha. Tam kshetrajnaha iti prahuhu. Yaha etad veti tam kshetrajnaha iti tadvidaha prahuhu. So the people who know the kshetrajna, tadvidaha, people who are knowers of kshetrajna, call the knower of the kshetram to be kshetrajna. The knower of the kshetram is a kshetrajna who is distinct, different from the known body. And this body is kshetram. Idam shariram kshetram. Yetad yaha veti. The one who knows the shariram is distinct from the shariram, who is said to be the knower of the kshetram, is kshetrajna. So people who know who kshetrajna is, they call this knower of the kshetram to be kshetrajna. Very expression tells kshetram janati yaha saha kshetrajna. One who knows the kshetram saha kshetrajna. Iti tadvidaha. This is the literal meaning Bhagavan gives. Even here, he doesn't say, I am saying this. Tadvidaha. So people who have very clear, doubt-free knowledge of the knower of the kshetram, they say, tadvidaha ahuhu. They say that knower of the kshetram, the one who knows this kshetram, to be Kshetrajnaha. Okay, we'll move on to the next. Not to the verse, one second. So Bhagavan first says, what is Kshetram? Then he tells who is Kshetrajnaha. Why? Because the knower of the Kshetram is Kshetrajnaha. So Bhagavan says, hey Arjuna, this physical body which you are always knowing, objectifying, experiencing, enjoying very closely is known as Kshetram. And this body is known as Kshetram, known by the term Kshetram, because Shankara Bhagavatpada says why this body is known as Kshetram. Anyway, the two well-known meanings we can see here. The first meaning is Kshiyate iti Kshetram. Kshiyate iti Kshetram. This body is known as Kshetram because Kshiyate iti Kshetram. Kshiyate means what? That which wears out, falls apart. That which falls apart. That which disintegrates. That which is subject to modifications, changes, sixfold modifications. Therefore, that which kshiyate means disintegrates, changes, modifies. Kshiyate iti kshetram is one meaning. Why the body is known as kshetram? Second reason, he says, the very word shariram means shiryamana swabhavatvati shariram iti uchyate. Shiryate means that which is constantly decaying, that which is constantly undergoing changes. Okay, shiryamana swabhavatvati, that which is of the nature of undergoing changes, decaying, is said to be shiryam, shariram. Shiryamana swabhavam shiryate. That is the nature of the body. Also dehaha. Body is also called, dehaha because dahyamanatva, that which all the time burns energy, and finally that which is burnt also. So that which is burnt is dehaha. Amazing, beautiful. Every word is highly expressive. Dehaha, shariram, kshetram. You take any of these words. All the words mean what? All these words mean uniformly one thing. This body, you can never expect the body to be there as it is perfectly. Okay? That is one fact. Already the very words may prepare us. Get ready. Be prepared. You will have to. One day wrinkles will come. Hair will change, color will change, one day it will fall apart, decay and disintegrate. Shiryamana swabhavatvat shariram ityuchyate, dahyamanatvat dehaha ityuchyate, kshiyamanatvat kshetram ityuchyate. Look at this, which word is nice? No word sounds nice. That is the nature of the body. Therefore, it is a kshetram. Okay. And we know, all the doctors know how constantly every fraction of, within a fraction of second, our cell division is taking place. How we are changing, they know scientifically also very well. Anyway. So that which is burned and that which is burnt by what? We have to understand. Finally, when cremated, it's burnt by fire. Or it is eaten by, it is always eaten. Energy is exhausted in the body. Then, one more thing is, the body, physical body, is also tormented by the tapatraya, the heat of threefold, the heat of threefold afflictions, adhyatmika tapaha, adi bhautika tapaha, adi daivika tapaha. See, always we have the heat. What heat? There's a pain is the heat. Pain also can scorch the body. And pain is the heat which burns the body. This body is burned by the heat of pain caused by obstacles arising from three different sources. Therefore, tapatraya agnina dagdham shariram is also what? Dehaha. That is why body is known as kshetram, because of its nature of being subject to disintegration and decay. Then kshetram means also field, which you know, all of you know in all Indian languages, the word kshetram means field. In Tamil Nadu, we only think kshetra means for us paddy field. Even in Kerala, paddy field is kshetra. But in North India, it may be wheat field. But for us, paddy field is kshetra. Any agricultural land is kshetra. Okay. And the land is always, what do we do with the land? We grow plants and the crops are grown, raised, therefore it is called kshetram. So our physical body is also, you know, upamitam. The physical body is upamitam. It's a comparable to a field. And Shankara Bhagavatpada says in his commentary, see, we have seeds. We have seeds and we use those seeds. We sprinkle the seeds. Then those seeds become converted into saplings. And saplings grow and then become a proper full-fledged plant. This conversion of seed into a plant happens only in the land. So without the land, without a land, a seed cannot be converted into a plant, a yielding plant. Even if you have one big bag of paddy, if it is not sown, it will not become an abundance of, you know, rice, what we eat. So we use the seeds, we manufacture, we produce a lot of agricultural products. The conversion of seed into a plant and through the plant accumulation of abundance of grains is possible only if there is a land. Land is very important. All these other fancy ideas of, you know, growing in water, growing in the hanging gardens, we can talk about it. But practically, for the amount of food we consume, amount of rice we need proper fields. Therefore, it is the land which alone is required, without which converting the grain, one seed into many, abundance, multiplication is not possible. Similarly, here also, we have seeds of karma. We all have seeds of karma. What are the seeds that we have? Punyam and papam. We have accumulated knowingly, unknowingly. We have done a lot of karma in our previous lives. Until this day, this meet also, we have been doing a lot of karma. And every karma produces drishtam phalam, adrishtam phalam. So all of us, we don't need to say, I do not have, do I have, do I doubt? No doubt. Okay, Shastram says, don't have any doubt. all of us have big, huge, huge bundles of karma in our account. We don't need to worry. Whether we have grains or not, we have karma definitely. And then karma, the karmas are like seeds. And for those karmas to be, okay, yielding in the form of experience of pleasure and pain. If karma palam has to grow and become the experience of pain and pleasure, means you need a land. And that land is what? This kshetram, this physical body. Therefore, all our unexhausted results of actions in terms of punya papams of our past janma, previous lives also, which we have in our account, and all of them have to really fructify into the experience of pleasure, pains and pleasures. So just as the fructification of a seed, a conversion of seed into a plant requires land, so also fructification of punya papams into experience of pleasures and pains requires the shariram deham. Shariram dehaha. And this is what is the medium of experience. That's why bhoga ayatanam. Body is said to be a bhoga ayatanam, an abode of experience. What do you need this abode of experience for? To convert the unexhausted results of punya results of actions in terms of punya papams into experience of pleasures and pains. We need a medium of experience, bhoga ayatanam, which is said to be dehaha. Therefore, if a person does not have a body, it is impossible for him to experience punyam or papam. How can you have sukha dukkha experience without the bhoga ayatanam? Bhogaha means experience. So experience of pains and pleasures is dependent on the body. Without body, it is not possible. Therefore, it is said, Shankar Bhagavatpada mentions kshetravate kshetram. Why is it called kshetram? This physical body is not really filled. Kshetravat kshetram. It is like the kshetram. Physical body is like the field. Like the field means what? We already have explained to you. Just as seeds require the land in order to be converted into a lifeful plant to be yielding, similarly, all the punya papa karma palani also require the field, this body, to be converted into the sukha dukkha anubhava, experience of pains and pleasures. Therefore, kshetravatu shariram kshetram. Therefore, this body is called field of experience. Okay? Kshetram means what? Field of experience. Beautiful. These are the meanings. No, Bhagavan Krishna has already said very clearly, physical body is a kshetram. No, even though body is said to be kshetram, I already mentioned the two other factors which should be involved in this kshetram is what? Mind, which is internal to the body, and the world, jagat, also should be included in the kshetram. Therefore, three factors constitute the kshetram: body, mind, and the world. So if you say briefly, the kshetram is the field of experience. Therefore, whatever is object of experience, whatever is available for your experience is kshetram. The world is also experienced, enjoyed by me. So also my mind is known to me, experienced by me. Therefore, the mind also is kshetram, body is also kshetram, and external world is also kshetram. All three factors come under the category of the kshetram. And this physical body, we have to see, is subject to sixfold modifications, which you understood Tattvabodha class, asti, jayate, vardhate, viparinamate, kshiyate, nashyati, apakshiyate, nashyati, shad vikara, shad bhava vikaravan dehaha, shad bhava vikaravat shariram. So that which is endowed with the sixfold modifications. People who have already heard many times Tattvabodha and other classes, it sounds very simple, but still I need to repeat this in this context based on what is said by Bhagavad Pada. So physical body is subject to sixfold modifications. Always his body is there in the form of food. Then the food, where is the body? It is in the mouth of plants. When it eaten, it is in the mouth of food. The food in parental bodies, in the essence of the parental food. Then it becomes the same, that alone becomes what? Sperm and ovum. Later on, combined together, it becomes a full-fledged body in mother's womb. It comes out, this what is body? And how many modifications already it has gone through? Asti, jayate, after being delivered also, after being born, it grows, vardhate, viparinamate, mustache comes for this young fellow, then the hair grows. Therefore, we say viparinamate, metamorphosis. Then gradually decays and finally again falls apart. These sixfold modifications happen. So body is subject to the sixfold modifications. Shad vikaravan dehaha, shad vikaravat shariram. And what about the mind? No, mind also is a thing but matter. It's very difficult to accept that the mind is a matter. What is mind? Not only physical, but it's a gross body, is a gross matter. Physical body is also subtle matter. It's inexplicably subtle matter. And body, mind all subject to change. Thoughts keep on changing. Moods change. Subtle, very subtle. Therefore, Bhagavan says, anything and everything subject to change is what? Matter only. Varieties of thoughts rise, varieties of thoughts keep on moving and mind changes. Therefore, kshetram consists of these three factors of shariram, body, jagat, world, and mind, antahkaranam. Now, next we move on to this kshetrajnaha. Who is kshetrajnaha? Kshetrajnaha is Purushaha. So Bhagavan says, Arjuna, you put it differently. Let me tell you what Kshetrajnaha is. Kshetrajnaha. Yaha etad veti saha Kshetrajnaha. Kshetrajnaha is the one who knows the tadvidaha. One who knows the body. So that which knows, that which experiences, that which objectifies, that which observes, that which brings to light this physical body, that which illumines this kshetram, all you can say is kshetrajna. So this, the kshetram is an object of experience. So every object which is experienced presupposes the subject of experience. Every object of experience presupposes the subject of experience. There cannot be an experienced object without the experiencer. And the experiencer definitely is a consciousness principle, a sentient conscious being is experiencer. And experienced is inert. Therefore, if sense organs are involved in the perception of any given object, whether eyes see an object, or ears hear the sound, or the nose smells a given object, this given smell, fragrance of a flower, or the tongue tastes, or even your skin feels the heat or the cold, so any given sense power, you know, perceives any of its corresponding object, and that sense power, any given object being perceived through any sense power, presupposes the experiencer, perceiver, and that perceiver experiencer is I. The one lettered word, first person singular pronoun I alone is the perceiver. So the perceiver, the experience presupposes the experiencer. So whenever any object of experience is perceived through any of the instrument of knowledge, that which presupposes the experiencer obtaining there. Because sense organs are only instruments of experience. Sense organs are instruments of experience, without which experience of objects is not possible. And there are objects, fivefold objects, experienced through five instruments of perception. So we say that's why any sense organ as an instrument of perception, you know, perceives any, its respective corresponding object, that presupposes what? The experiencer, perceiver, I. Therefore, it is said here, so this kshetram consisting of body, mind and world presupposes, inert kshetram, body, mind and world presupposes the experiencer, observer, subject of experience, perceiver. So the inert material world, an object of experience, presupposes the experiencer, and that experiencer is a consciousness. Experiencer knower is sentient conscious being who is known as kshetrajna. So Bhagwan calls that conscious sentient being the content of I, the experiencer, as kshetrajna. So he says, tadvidaha means the wise people who know, who have this discriminative understanding of knower, who have discerned the knower from the known, and they say this knower of the kshetram to be Kshetrajnaha. And the Kshetrajnaha is another than, the knower of the Kshetram is another than formless, abstract, pure consciousness. What is this consciousness? The consciousness is the most mysterious factor. The whole world wants to discover this, especially the elite of the world, the so-called scientists, the so-called psychologists, the so-called, no, everybody in the world. Any seeker of wisdom is searching for consciousness. Okay, this consciousness is one, according to Vedanta Shastram, if you understand what consciousness is, consciousness is the subtlest, abstract, formless, all-pervasive, beginningless, endless, changeless, independent reality, which is completely distinct from this matter. When you say matter, kshetram. This consciousness is distinct from this kshetram, means distinct from the body, mind and world. Even though distinct from the body, mind and world, it is not distant from the body, mind and world, because it pervades the entire kshetram. So kshetrajnaha, the consciousness implied by the, is the meaning of the word kshetrajnaha, pervades the entire kshetram. Therefore, it is not distant, even though it is distinct from the kshetram, body, mansions, complex. Is distinct, different, even though not distant, means it has nothing to do with the matter. It means it is not associated with matter as its part or as its product or as its property. And it pervades in and through the entire kshetram, all the bodies, all the minds, all this jagat is in and through pervaded by this consciousness. But only thing is, this consciousness is not recognizable, not an object of knowledge. Consciousness happens to be the knower of kshetram, is not an object of knowledge. The knower can never become the known. The knower of kshetram consciousness can never become the known consciousness, which means consciousness is not an object of knowledge. Can never become the object of knowledge. Make it a point. Consciousness can never become the object of knowledge. Why? Because it is the knower of the so-called objective kshetram, universe. It can never become the object of knowledge means it is available for, what does it mean? It can never become the object of knowledge means consciousness can never be known. What does it mean? Never become the known means. Consciousness is available for recognition, not as an object to be known, but as the experiencer is available for recognition. This is the, and it's available for recognition where, when, how. It's available for recognition only where it is manifest. Next point. Consciousness is, it cannot be known as an object. It is available for recognition as the experiencer, subject of experience, not as an object of experience. And it is available for experience, a subject of experience also, only where it is manifest. It is not available everywhere. So where is it manifest? It is manifest only where there is sukshma shariram. These are all important factors, okay? This consciousness principle, which is said to be the Kshetrajna, is not available for objectification, but it is available for recognition as the experiencer, subject of experience, but it's available for experience as the experiencer also only where there is, it is manifest. And it is manifestation is dependent on the subtle matter. Even though the whole, all that is seen is the matter, everywhere consciousness is inseparably pervasive of the entire matter, the body, mind and the world, still it is not available for recognition where it is not manifest. So, wherever the sukshma shariram, there alone consciousness is manifest. Wherever it is manifest, there alone it is available for recognition. That is why what happens, wherever there is no sukshma, there is no manifestation. The consciousness is present, but consciousness is not manifest where there is no sukshma, subtle body. So where there is no subtle body, there is no manifestation. There is no life also. That is why consciousness is available for recognition only in living beings. The non-living things, it is not available for recognition. Really speaking, the living being is that. Living being is also matter. Non-living things also is matter. But what is that which differentiates a living being from a non-living thing? Wherever consciousness is manifest, that being becomes a living being. So wherever there is a sukshma, there is manifestation of consciousness. And that object having a sukshma, having manifestation of consciousness, becomes a living being, a sentient being, a conscious being. So where there is no sukshma, there is no manifestation, therefore we call it a inert non-living thing. Non-living also is inert matter, living being is also inert matter. Only difference is, In a matter, if a consciousness is manifest, it is living being. If it is not manifest, it is a non-living thing. And manifestation is dependent on the subtle sukshma shariram, subtle body. Subtle matter must be there. Therefore, what happens, as consciousness is available for recognition only where it is manifest, we mistake wherever it is not manifest, it is not available for recognition. Therefore, we make a wrong conclusion that wherever consciousness is not available for recognition because of its being non-manifest there, unmanifest there, we mistake the non-availability of consciousness as non-existence of consciousness. What about mountain? What about rocks? What about these all non-living things? Isn't consciousness there? We told you this pure consciousness is all pervasive. There's no place, there's no time, there's nothing which is not pervaded by consciousness. But we do make conclusion, because it is not available for recognition, because it is not manifest, because there is no sukshma, we mistake the all-pervasive consciousness to be non-existent wherever it is not available for recognition. Okay? This is the lesson about consciousness. And it is said, even in a physical body like ours, whether it's a human body or animal body or a plant body, when the sukshma leaves, the physical body, and the physical body becomes what? A dead body. Then once without the sukshma in a dead physical body, consciousness is there, but not available for recognition. Therefore, we mistake the departure of subtle body from the gross body to be the departure of the consciousness also. That's not true. Consciousness cannot depart, cannot come, and cannot go. Why? All pervasive. So all pervasive consciousness cannot come, cannot go, is always there, everywhere there, pervading everything. But sukshma is not there, it is not available for recognition. Therefore, we mistake the departure of sukshma, subtle body, the subtle matter, to be the departure of consciousness, or we mistake the consciousness to be non-existent. Really speaking, it is because of its nature of all pervasiveness alone, consciousness is said to be Atma, implied by the word Atma. The very fact the consciousness is implied by the term Atma because of its nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, Bhagavan says, what is this consciousness? Remember, consciousness is not born, does not die, does not undergo any change. It is one, all pervasive. It is independent of matter for its existence. Whereas body, mind, and the world, the entire material products, material modifications, is very much kshetram is dependent on kshetrajna for its very existence. But kshetrajna is not dependent on kshetram for its existence. Independent. So this, and recognizing this consciousness is what? Recognizing consciousness as the self is jnanam. But what do? Even though its consciousness is the essential nature of every being, whether we like it, we don't like it, we know, we do not know. The fact is, all of us are essentially one. All are essentially one, though all are not equal because of the upadis. We are not equal because of the upadis. But we are all one essentially. So the whole teaching is for us to shift our identity from this body and mind to this consciousness. So what is the understanding we have? First, we begin like this. I am the body. This is our first understanding. Then after being exposed to the teaching, we understand I am the body with the consciousness. Our first understanding is what? I am the body. Then our understanding goes to next what? I am the body with the consciousness implied by the term Atma. Now later on, what is the final understanding we should have? I am the consciousness principle with an prarabdha ordained incidental body. The prarabdha ordained incidental body and which is subject to come and go. This body originated from the total matter, the universe, sustained by the total matter, universe, again it will go back to the universe. So body came, originated from the matter in the form of the universe, and it is sustained also by the matter in the form of universe, again it will go back to the universe. That is the kshetram. Kshetram, body kshetram, originate, body kshetram originates from the jagat kshetram. And it remains sustained by jagat kshetram. It goes back to jagat kshetram. Kshetram goes back to kshetram. Whereas I am consciousness implied by the term atma with an incidentally adi body ordained by paradha karma phalam. What is our understanding initially? I am the body is the understanding first. Then only we understand I am the body with the consciousness. But final understanding should be what? The after study of the Shastram, I am consciousness temporarily endowed with the incidental body ordained by the Parabdha Karma Phalam. And this body has come and the body is undergoing all changes. It will go back to definitely Jagat. The natural recycling, Bhagavan has his own plan of natural recycling. We have to find out so many new devices. But Bhagavan has his own already well designed recycling method. So he knows it's happening. Okay. So this is the second verse. We will see the meaning of the third verse next class. And seeing this pure consciousness, non-distensible from the matter, cognitively we have to discern. See, from the matter, non-distensible consciousness, physically non-distensible consciousness should be cognitively, intellectually discerned and claimed as one's own self. So claiming this consciousness as the self, cognitively discerning it from the non-distant matter is called what? Swarupa jnanam, atma jnanam or aparoksha jnanam. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.